Good morning.
First of all, before I begin, I'd like to thank Pastor Vasily for the opportunity of being here this morning. Being able to share the pulpit with someone else is not only a blessing, but it's also a privilege to be here with you this morning. A little bit about myself before we start our study this morning. My name is Luis Camps. Can you say Luis? Luis. When people ask me, I say Luis, because Luis, I think, is a female name, but that's not me. It's L-U-I-S. That's the very Hispanic Luis. Anyone from any Hispanic country here? Anyone? No? Oh, wow. I feel special. I was born in Cuba, the island of Cuba, and I left when I was about 12 years old, 13 years old, actually. My dad was able to, with my mom, work it out in a miraculous way, as a matter of fact. We'll tell you the story some other time. I left Cuba. So Pastor Vasily and I have something very that unites us a lot more than just being pastors, and it's the fact that we were born and raised in a communist country. And we know what it means to do that. And we also know what it means to be a Christian in a communist country. And, you know, we are very glad that Russia is a free country now, most of the time. And we continue to pray for that to happen to Cuba when it's God's time for that to happen. Been married for 22 years with my wife. Praise the Lord for that. She was born in Colombia. And we met in Venezuela as we were attending church and church choir and pathfinders. So if you're single, think about church activities, you know, pathfinder, church choir, anything that is going on, take advantage of it, because that's when you get to know the people in your church. And that's where we met at the church there in Venezuela, in Caracas. We left from Cuba to Venezuela. We lived there for 6 years. The intention was just to be a few months, but the Lord had other plans. I had to, of course, grow older and marry my wife before leaving Venezuela. I didn't know at the time, but then I found out, right? And so we came to the States 22 years ago. We've been living in different parts of the United States. We studied a little bit in Massachusetts, Atlantic Union College. We lived in Tennessee. We went to Southern Adventist University, where my wife and I went to school too. We've lived, worked a little bit for the Georgia Cumberland Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, and then we've worked 5 years for the Florida Conference as a youth pastor, not a youth director. Youth director is way beyond my head. It's too much for me, especially in the Florida Conference. And then while being there, we got a call from Pastor Ralph Watts, and he asked us if we wanted to come to Hawaii. And of course, you have to pray a lot about coming to Hawaii, right? And so we've been in the Kona site now for 10, almost 11 months. And I praise God for the opportunity He's given us to come and help us worship with the churches here and just help continue to forward the message of Jesus Christ. And once again, thank you for the opportunity of being here. The message this morning I've titled Living with an Attitude of what? Expectancy. Now, one thing, while I'm preaching, feel free to interrupt and ask questions or do whatever. I believe what Sister White says, we have too many sermons, we need to teach a little more. And so feel free to say amen, standing in your seat if you're really excited about it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujahs. All of those things are welcome in the name of the Lord. Living with an attitude of expectancy. Some of our most exciting periods in life are the times of anticipation. Remember when you were waiting to graduate from high school? You were anticipating that. Couldn't wait to finish. I know I couldn't wait. I've never been a good student, and so I couldn't wait to get out of school. And then after that, I couldn't wait to get married. And so I met my wife, we dated for 4 years, and I just couldn't wait to turn old enough so I could get married. The anticipation, the desire to get to that anticipated goal. It's wonderful. The more you anticipate something, the quicker your steps become. The faster the time passes. Sometimes you feel it's the longest time, right? But you are anticipating that. And finally, our wedding day came, and I couldn't believe it. We were married. And then before we knew it, in a couple years, we had our first daughter. And those 9 months of waiting time, anticipation to finally be able to carry that baby in your arms. And a couple years later, then we had another baby. We do have two daughters. The names are Jennifer and Elizabeth. And right now, they are at Southern Adventist University. One is doing nursing, and the other one is doing mass communication. Thank you very much. I call my wife every time, my personal helper, right? She's always helping me out. And so that time of anticipation, have you been in that, you know, in that kind of situation where you're anticipating something? Our daughters are going to be coming during the summer. We haven't seen them for the last 6-7 months. And so we're anticipating that. We're counting the days. And Elizabeth, the youngest one, is coming to meet us for the first time in Hawaii. They've never been to home in Hawaii. So when they've been asked at college, where's home? They're like, I don't know, you know, maybe Miami, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, Massachusetts, maybe Hawaii. We've been in so many places, right? But it's that anticipation. Elizabeth is coming on Monday, and we're counting the days, and we're counting the hours, and we're thinking we need to fix her room and make sure everything's ready for her, and where are we going to take her in Hawaii, and you know, where are we going to go, what are we going to show her, how are we going to spend the time she's going to be with us. And we're excited. We're anticipating that time. The times of that anticipation are important in our life. We're counting the days. It happens in Christmas. It happens when you're waiting to get your driver's license. It happens when you're trying to get married. It happens all the time in our life. And these are important times that we live. When we are living, however, with a time, with an attitude of expectancy and anticipation, our steps begin to quicken and our eyes brighten as we reach out to the future dreams. When Jesus ascended to heaven from Mount Olives, he left his disciples in an attitude of anticipation. And I want to invite you to have a word of prayer before we open the word this morning to ask for God's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open your Bible, your word, your letter of love to us, I pray that you will send your Holy Spirit, the same and one Spirit that gave the prophets what to write down so that we could have it today, so that he, Lord, can open our minds and open our hearts. And I pray that each and every person here this morning may be able, drawn by your Holy Spirit, to apply today's message to their life according to your will. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be starting from the book of Acts. And even though we read just a few verses, because I didn't want to give you guys a long Bible reading, we're actually going to be covering the book of Acts from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to verse 14. And I want to give it a quick read. So if you can look it up in your Bibles, let's find out here. Acts 1, verse 1 through 14, and see what's going on. It says, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach, unto the day he was taken up to where? Are you following up? I love to ask questions when I'm reading to see if you're following up. Okay? It says that he was writing until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instruction through the Holy Spirit. So here, John, as he's writing the book of Acts, is telling Theophilus, I'm going to start writing to you. I wrote to you what happened up to that time. Now I'm going to write to you, I'm not going to explain to you what happened after Jesus went up to heaven. And this is where the book of Acts takes up, and it continues to go. Now he says, during the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he taught to them about the kingdom of God. Jesus died, he resurrects 3 days later, and then he spends time with the disciples for 40 days. And during those 40 days, he talks to them, the Bible says, about the kingdom of what? The kingdom of God. What is it all about? What's going to happen? And he also is giving them some instructions. He continues to say in verse 4, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave where? Jerusalem, until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with what? With the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? But he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9, after saying this, he was taken up into what? A cloud, while they were watching, and they could not longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will what? Return or come back from heaven in the same way that you say you saw him go. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, and a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present. And then it tells us the name of those who were present in verse 14. So here goes what we're studying today. Jesus has been ministering in Jerusalem and around the area for 3.5 years. He've had 12 disciples follow him wherever he goes. And before he leaves for a while, not even he knew how long he was going to be gone, because he said only the Father knows that time. So not even Jesus knew, but he knew he was going to be gone for a while. As he's leaving, he's trying to leave instructions to his disciples. He's trying to tell them, as I leave, don't give up now. Don't just stop doing what you've been doing, but you need to live in an attitude of expectancy. Because I am what? Coming again. I'm coming back. So don't give up. Continue to go forward. Live in an attitude of expectancy. And I believe, church, today, that also God wants the Puna Church to live in an attitude of expectancy. Amen? We can't just give up or just live life as it comes. We need to learn as a church to live in an attitude of expectancy. How can we do that? How can we learn to live with an attitude of expectancy? Do you want to know? Yes? No? Amen? Let's learn that from the Bible today. Now, like I said before, for over 3 years, Jesus had preached. He had prepared his disciples specifically for this mission, for this moment. He taught them with words that burned in their hearts. He challenged them. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19, therefore go and make what? Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He told them, go and make disciples. He actually told them, you need to go and do that. At the last moments in his earthly ministry, he told them to wait now. Verse 4 of our study today. Does it make any sense? Jesus tells them in verse 4, once they were eating, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift of that he has promised, as I told you before. Do not what? Do not leave, but wait. Now, after 3.5 years of being ready, after 3.5 years of seeing Jesus make miracles, after 3.5 years of wanting to go out and tell the world, after 40 days of knowing that Jesus was not dead, he was alive, wanting desperately to go and tell everyone that Jesus was alive. He was not dead. His tomb was actually empty. Now Jesus tells them, wait. He told them to wait. Wait for what? For a promise. Wait for a promise from the Father. And that promise was who? It was the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes it happens to us in our lives. You ask God for something, and his answer is what? Wait. Right? You pray for something, and you're really expecting it, and you want it right here and right now. You know our society today, you know? It's mine, and I want it when? I want it now. Like the commercial. It's my money, and I want it now, right? We live in that kind of society. We want everything today. You know, young people don't work all their life to buy the convertible, you know, BMW anymore. They want to have it now. And that's why we're getting debt constantly. We don't want to wait. We live in a society that we want everything yesterday. And because of that, we get in debt and we do things that are not right many times because we want it now. The disciples wanted to go out and tell everyone, but Jesus tells them, you need to wait because what you're about to do, you cannot do on yourself. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, God knows better. I always said, if God is God, then let him be God. Amen? If he is truly God, if you truly believe God is God, then let him be God. Let him do things on his time and not your time. Now today, we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out because that happened in the early rain. We're waiting, and we'll talk some more about that for the later rain. But there are many things that we are waiting for. We're waiting for God to act in our lives. We're waiting for God to answer our prayers. And the one thing we need to learn is that God has his own timing, not ours. How many times do we pray for God to touch someone's heart and bring that person to himself? You are having evangelism right now here in this church, amen? And I'm sure each one of you has someone in your heart you've been praying for. And you want that person to come to Christ because you want to see them in heaven. Amen? You don't want them to be lost. But you might get desperate. And you may want them to do it on your timing. But the one thing we need to learn from this Bible verse, from this study today, is that God has his own timing. We need to wait on him. We need to learn to wait. What is the secret to waiting? The secret to waiting is expectancy. The secret to waiting is what? Expectancy. And what is the secret to expectancy? Faith. The secret to expectancy, my brothers and sisters, is faith. If you really have faith that God is going to answer your prayer in his timing, then you have no problem waiting on him. Amen? Amen? If you are looking for a job because you have been unemployed and you don't have enough money to pay for your bills, anyone in that situation maybe? Huh? And you pray, Lord, I need a job. If you truly have faith that God is going to provide you with your job, then you can wait expectantly because you have faith. then there is no problem in waiting. Then you don't get all worried about, because you know God is going to answer on His own timing. When you pray for a brother or sister to come to Christ, and you have faith, and you know that God will work in their lives, then you have no problem waiting, because you know it's going to happen. Amen? Whatever it is you pray for, whatever it is that you have a desire in your heart, the true secret to expectancy is to have faith. If I'm struggling with questions needing in my life to be answered, and you truly have faith that the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, then you have no problem waiting on the Lord. The second thing we need to learn to do is to watch with expectancy. So the first thing we need to learn to do is to do what? To wait in expectancy, right? And the secret to wait in expectancy is to have what? Faith. Because when you know it's going to happen, then you can wait. If you know it's coming, you can wait. It doesn't matter. You might get a little anxious about waiting, but you know it's coming. The second thing we need to learn is to watch with expectancy. We need to live our life with one eye in the world and another eye up in heaven. Sister White says that because we don't know the day or the hour that Jesus is coming, we need to live as if He was coming when? Today, but at the same time, we need to make plans for the future. Right? I heard my mom one time told me that her parents used to tell her, and the church where she used to go back in Cuba, you know, why study? Why go to university? Jesus is coming so soon, you're not going to have time to graduate. And a lot of people have gone to experiences like that. Well, God wants you to study. He wants you to be wise, to learn more. Of course, the one thing we need to learn more about than anything else is what? The Word of God, right? That's the most important career you could ever engage in. Study more about the Word of God. But you need to have a lifestyle that you are watching with expectancy. You're watching what's going on, but at the same time, even though you're waiting for the Lord to come today, you're also expecting Him to take a little longer. Matthew 24:42. Let's look it up in our Bibles. And probably most of you know it by memory. Book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 42. Jesus, again, talking to His disciples. We there? Amen? He says, therefore keep what? Watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will what? Will come. You need to keep what? Watch. Paul later on, talking about the second coming of Jesus, says, we don't have to worry about not knowing, because even though we don't have the day or the hour, we know when things are getting closer. Jesus told His disciples, when the fig tree starts to give flowers and fruit, you know that it's what? It's coming. So we need to learn to watch with expectancy. Now let me ask you, are you waiting for the Lord to return? Are you truly waiting for Him to come? And if you are you waiting expectantly for Him to return? Are you living the kind of life that someone who is expecting something to really happen should be living? Are the decisions that are you making in your life, your career, your financial investments, how you use your money, how you take care of your health, are you living your life in such a way that you're truly expecting Jesus to come? I hope you are. Matthew 25:13 says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. We looked at the things that are going on in the world, and we know that Jesus' coming is close. Amen? I truly believe that the second coming of Jesus Christ is getting closer and closer. Look around. Watch the news. See what's going on. I mean, laws that years ago, it was unthinkable that could be approved. I've been approved today in the blink of an eye. No questions asked. We are giving away the liberty of this country for a sense of assurance and security. Things are happening. I remember I was around when President Bush came into the presidency. And I saw as the next few months, and I'm not for any party whatsoever. You know, I don't believe in you know, Republicans, or I don't believe in that. I come from a country we couldn't vote, so I'm just getting used to the idea of being able to vote here. But I realized as President Bush got into the office a few years ago that he made more changes than any other president in the past to actually unite the government and the church. I don't know if you noticed that. And that trend has not changed. It's continuing and continuing. So we know that he's coming soon. However, we know a few things still need to happen. Amen? We know that because we studied the prophecies and we know how everything needs to be unfolded. We might not have all the details, but we have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen. So we might think to ourselves, well, I'm watching, but I know we still have a few years left. There's a few things that haven't happened that still need to happen. But the question is, how much time do you have left? Are you living your life in the kind of expectancy that you're taking in consideration that we don't know when our last breath will happen? Church, we need to learn to live with an attitude of expectancy. For you and I, Jesus can come at any time. A few years ago, I was talking to my aunt, and she told me her son had gotten into trouble in Las Vegas. Lost his driver's license after not paying so many tickets. Was into smoking marijuana and was getting into other kinds of drugs. She was really worried about him. And we were living in Miami. And so he called one day and said, hey, I want to move to Miami. He called me and said, I want to move to Miami. I want to get out of this, you know, environment. My friends and the people I hang out with, it's not helping me. I'm just getting worse and worse. The police is actually looking for me. I need to get out of here. I want to go to church. I want to get to know the God that you worship. I want to change and transform my life. And I said, come on in. Come. Move. Come to Miami. We'll help you. We'll take you to church. We'll be with you. We'll help you out through the process. And so he moved to Miami. And instead of moving in with his mom or any other family, he decided to rent a room with a friend. And so that first week that he was there and getting settled, I called him and said, okay, you moved to Miami to go to church, so I'll pick you up tomorrow, Saturday, in the morning, and I'll take you to church. And he said, well, you know, we're still settling things here in the apartment. I still need to fix the new things. Why don't we leave it for next week? And I said, whatever, it's your choice. You know, that's what you moved here for. So I'm here for you anytime. You just let me know. And so the week went by. And he didn't go to church that Saturday. And then during the week, I call him again. So I'm picking you up next week, Saturday morning. I'll pick you up early before we go to church. And then he said, well, you know, my friend and I, we decided to go to the beach. You know, we haven't been close to the ocean in such a long time. And we really want to enjoy the beach. And you know, what about next Saturday? And I said, listen, brother, anytime, you just let me know. Remember, that's what you came here for. And so that happened for several weeks until one week I called him again and I said, am I picking you up this Saturday, yes or no? And he thought for a little while. He said, you know, we're going to go out Friday night. We're going to be out late. But you know what? No matter what, come pick me up. I'm going to go this Saturday to church no matter what. And I said, amen. I'll pick you up early Saturday morning. That Friday night, he went out with friends. It was him and a driver, because he couldn't drive. He didn't have a driver's license. And two girls in the car. They went out partying and drinking and dancing. And on the way back on US 1 in Miami and 27th Avenue Northwest, his friend decided to make a left turn
without looking and watching what was coming down the road. So a Volvo being driven by two girls, by one girl, there were two girls in the car, was coming, according to the report, about 80 miles an hour, and struck his car where he was sitting on his door at that speed without even touching the brakes. And he died instantly that night. He never made it to church. Brothers and sisters, as Christians, we know Jesus is coming soon. Amen? But we also know that we need to learn to live with an attitude of expectancy. We need to watch for Jesus coming, but we also need to watch for how much time we have left. There's another thing we need to learn to watch for. And we need to also watch for the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are you watching for that? Let me ask you something. You come in this morning to church expecting the Holy Spirit to work in your life. When you got up this morning, did you say, Lord, I'm going to your house of prayer today, and I know that when I finish today at noon or whatever time we finish, I know I'm going to be a different person. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know I'm going to be different. I know I'm going to be transformed, and I'm going expecting the Holy Spirit to transform and change my life. Are we living in that kind of expectancy? You know, we sing the song many times, whisper a prayer in the morning, whisper a prayer at noon. The Christian who learns to watch expectantly is a Christian that knows that sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in whispers. Sometimes he whispers back to us. If we are to have an attitude of expectancy, then we must watch for the coming of Christ, and we also need to learn to watch for the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. There's a third thing and last that we need to learn to do in order to live with an attitude of expectancy. In verse 11, Acts 1, 11. The disciples are trying to see Jesus as he gets farther and farther away up into heaven. You know, they're trying to look and cover the sun and see where's he going. Is he gone? I can't see him anymore. And as they're worried about what's going to happen with Jesus, the Bible says the two persons in white robes, two persons in white robes appear amongst this group of disciples. And they say there in verse 11, men of Galilee, they say, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will what? Return from heaven in the same way that you have seen him go. We might be watching and waiting, but we also need to learn to work with expectancy. You see, Jesus didn't left a church sitting down in the pews of a beautiful building waiting for his second coming. He left a movement. Today, during the Sabbath school, one of the brothers mentioned about the Seventh-day Adventist church being a movement. We're not a church, we're not an organization, and we're not here to stay. We are a movement. We're here getting ready ourselves for the second coming of Jesus Christ, but we're also here working tirelessly, not giving up, making plans and strategies so that we can tell the rest of the world that Jesus is also coming soon. There's a story of an American who was walking in Ireland. And as he was walking around looking for a town, he got kind of lost. And so tired and sweaty and thirsty, he sat down by the side of the road. And while he's there, one of the farmers noticed the American and come and asked, you know, how are you? You know, do you need any help? And so the American told him, yeah, I'm looking for a certain town. And so the Irishman told him, oh yeah, sure, it's only half a mile down the road. And so the American guy stand up and say, okay, you know, only half a mile, I can do that. And so he walked half a mile down the road only to find out that there was no town. And so almost giving up and not knowing where to go, he once again found another person and asked, hey, where's such and such a town? And the guy said, oh, it's half a mile down the road. Just keep on going. And so the American said, oh, I can do that. Half a mile, that's fine. I can do that. And so he kept on going. And half a mile down the road, he found out again that the town was not there. And this repeated time after time until finally, many miles down the road, he reached the called town. While in the town that night, there was some kind of celebration going on, and so he bumped into the guy that he asked for the first time. And he went and told him, how come you didn't tell me the town was so far away? Why do you lie to me? And so the Irishman said, well, you know, here in Ireland, we're really careful to make the strangest way as soft as possible. I didn't want to tell you how far it was because I didn't want you to get discouraged and give up. And so I wanted to make your traveling soft and nice. And so that's what we do here in Ireland. And the American said, well, in America, people are sure to tell you exactly the right information you're asking for. And so the Irishman said, well, I guess Americans don't think enough of you to lie to you in order to make your life easier. You see, sometimes as Christians, we do like they do in Ireland. And I don't know if that's true or not. It's a story I actually read. But sometimes we're afraid to tell the world that there is not much time left. And we try to make their life soft and easy. And by doing so, we are telling them that whatever they're doing, it's okay. You still have time to get ready. There's still time for you to come to Jesus. You know, when young people say, I want to enjoy life before I give my life to Christ, we smile and we don't say anything back instead of saying, you know what? There is no life away from Christ. So enjoying your life away from Christ is not a reality because true life is only found in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, God wants a church that is not only waiting expectantly, not only watching expectantly, but is also working expectantly. If we truly believe we are the church of God of the last days, if we truly believe this is the last church in the world before Jesus comes, and if we truly believe that He's coming soon, then we will be working tirelessly to tell the world that there is not much time left and that Jesus is coming soon. Living with expectancy. There is another time in my life that I spent several years, waiting expectantly. Back in 1978, as we were gathered around the table having dinner with the family in the city of Havana, Cuba, I was actually 7 years old. A military truck came and parked in front of our house. A tall, strong man dressed in military clothes got off the truck and asked for Luis Camps Sr. My dad, who was sitting at the table still eating with us, got up and asked how he could help him. And he said, your country needs you, and you have been summoned to come with me right now. No previous notice, no letters, nothing. So my dad tried to gather a few things and got in the truck and say, bye, I'm coming soon. He took off in that truck. 3 months later, we heard that Fidel was sending people to Ethiopia. Somalia was getting into Ethiopia, was trying to get over the country. And Fidel, trying to get allies and implement communism in other countries, offered help and was sending military personnel from Cuba to Ethiopia to defend Ethiopia against Somalia. And so we thought, we didn't really know, but we thought that's probably where he's sending him. And so over the next few months, and up to a year and a half later, we were constantly expecting our dad to come back, but we didn't know when he was coming back. And so as wounded soldiers will come back to the island, we will go with a picture of my dad and visit them in their houses and ask them, have you seen this man? Have you seen this man? And Ethiopia is a big country. And there were many military personnel from Cuba in that country during the 78s to the 80s. Until finally one day, one of the wounded soldiers who had left, he had lost his two legs in a mine explosion. We showed him the picture and he told us, yes. He said, as a matter of fact, he was the one who carried me from the field where I landed after the explosion to the helicopter that came to rescue us. My dad was working in a unit in Ethiopia, disarming mines. That was his job. And this guy was part of his team. And that was the first time, almost a year and 2 months after my dad was gone, that we knew where he was and we knew that he was well. And so after that, we received a letter where he said, you know, finally I can write to you guys. I'm doing well. I pray every day for you, and I pray for God. Don't worry about me, because I know I'm coming home and I'll be all right. After a year and a half, as my brother in law and I were getting ready to go to school, every morning we would tell my mom, would it be today that our dad is coming back? Because if he's coming back, we're not going to school, right? We're taking the day off from school. And she will always answer, yes, when your dad comes back, you're not going to go to school, but he's not coming back today. Maybe not today. So get ready for school anyways. And so we were getting ready for school. And my mom was boiling milk, you know, and she was making it nice and hot to put a little bit of chocolate in the morning and give us a little breakfast before we went to school. And while we're getting ready, one of our neighbors came and stand in front of the door and shouted, Rachel, that's my mom's name, Raquel, you better come here right now. I have good news for you. My brother and I just took off from the room. Any distraction from keeping us from school was valid. So we took off from the room, started running to the outside of the house. And we saw the neighbor, and she would look up. We live three blocks, long blocks away from the main road where the bus would leave people, and we had to walk to make it to our home. But it was a straight shot. You could see far away. And as we see her looking far away and smiling, something started happening in our hearts. We didn't know what was going on, but we were really excited about it. And so as we went out and tried to look, we saw this tall, really skinny guy. My dad is 6'2". I'm the shortest one in the family. Coming down the road. And we got so excited. My mom, as she was coming out, trying to see what the whole commotion was going on, what happened. My dad was already approaching the house. She fainted. And I remember my dad said, if you don't get up right now, I'm leaving again. And she got up immediately. During that time, we were living in an attitude of expectancy. We were constantly expecting news to come back. We were constantly expecting our dad to show up. In church, let me tell you something. One day, Jesus will show up. One day, one neighbor is going to get up and say, look, there is something up there in the sky. It's a black cloud, and it's different than the other ones. What's going on? And that day, you and I are going to get really excited because we know who's coming home. Are you living a lifestyle of expectancy? Are you ready for Jesus' second coming? Are you ready to breathe your last breath today, if that is when God decides it? Are you living in such a way that you're waiting with expectancy, with faith, because you know it's going to happen, that you're watching all the things that are happening, knowing that Jesus is coming soon? And are you living in such a way that you're also working for your fellow humans who otherwise will be lost, unless you take the time and the energy and the courage to go and tell them, your life needs to be changed. Your life needs to be transformed. And I know exactly how that can happen. May the Lord help us. May we learn to live a life of expectancy. May we wait with faith. May we watch every day. And may Jesus find us faithfully working for the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, help us, Lord. There's so much going on in this world, and it's so easy just to get bogged down by the things happening every day. It's just so easy to worry about the financial situation and worry about sickness and worry about war in other places. But Lord, as a church, you have given us a mission, Lord. I pray that you will help us to live that kind of life of expectancy. Help us to wait. Help us to watch. And help us to work diligently, knowing that Jesus' coming is soon. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.